Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in. This is the Early Line on Sports Grid. I am Kevin Walsh. That is Donnie Wrightside, and we are taking a look at game number two in the ALCS between the Houston Astros and the New York Yankees. The Astros, a minus 162 money line favorite. The total for this baseball game is a 7. Tell us where you're looking here. It's Framber Valdez versus Luis Severino.
This is a good one. I thought the Yankees were in a really tough spot yesterday, as most people did, right? Heading down to Houston to take on Verlander on the mound, and you basically had no time off, get on a plane, start playing right away, and get everything going. And meanwhile, the Astros there rested and ready. And they were 4-2 final. It was pretty much expected there. But tonight, look for a bounce back for the Yankees tonight. And it's not necessarily saying that you don't like the pitching matchup or it's not in your favor. The FanDuel Sportsbook has a heavy favorite here again for the Astros at a minus 162 price and a total of 7. But Luis Severino, over the past 30 days in Major League Baseball, 2.93 xFIP, which is tremendous. K percentage, 28%. Take a look at the splits. He's faced 81 batters, almost even here, 40 lefties and 41 righties. Severino, right-handed pitcher, 207 here to lefties as a weighted on base percentage, and to righties, a 195. That's tremendous. Now, let's take a look at the Yankee batters, which we maligned specifically, Aaron Judge. But going up against lefties, maybe they have an advantage. But Valdez also a very low xFIP number, Kevin, at 3.06. If we line him up, 236 weighted on base percentage of lefties. But how about to righties? A 353, which is above average. So if I'm looking tonight, I like the Yankees as a dog at plus 136. And also, if we're looking at some props, fun markets here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. I'm really impressed by the, you can bet to have a single, a double, a triple, or a home run. Not over 1.5 bases where two singles would cash that ticket. You would have to hit a double or a home run. Look at three batters in the lineup tonight here for the Yankees, which if we take their last 30 days against lefties, it's accelerated here for Judge, Stanton, and also Harrison Bader. If we look at the prices here to hit a home run, plus 340 for Judge, plus 480 for Stanton, 7-1 for Harrison Bader here. But also a fun market here just to hit a double, which means to say you get 4 or 5 at bats, all you need is one double to cash this ticket in. If you look at that, 5-1 for Judge, 6-1 for Stanton, and 6-1 for Bader. I look for those three players to have a decent night tonight and the Yankees as a dog price to take this one home.
Big opportunity for the Yanks, no doubt about it. As we said, with the Padres and the Phillies going back to Philadelphia, 3 in a row on the road. So for the Yankees, you steal home field advantage as you get set then to play 3 in the Bronx. No doubt about it, would be major. To give you an idea of where the strikeout props are sitting for these two pitchers, Luis Severino checks in at a 4.5, minus 118 towards the over. Framber Valdez checking in at 5.5. He's a plus 122 towards that over. This is an interesting overall spot, though, when you think about kind of where the Yankees are, as this is a team that, look, you're going back home, it's the Bronx, there's plenty in front of you, I understand that. But there is, I think, somewhat of a mental game that exists with the Astros on the other side of the field. even when the Yankees were the best team in baseball early in the season, right? Won every single game they played. So often you would hear, yeah, but they can't beat the Astros. Yeah, remember now, they were red hot and the Astros came in to New York, grabbed the split in a four-game set. They no-hit them one of the games. They needed a pair of walk-off the Yankees to win their two games. There's just this kind of, I think, narrative. And what we know about athletes is if we hear it, they hear it. So it's a big opportunity for the Yanks to try and get off of this slide, no doubt. Our radio audience is here with us on a Thursday morning. I'm Kevin Walsh. It's Donnie Wrightside, SiriusXM, Channel 159 Sports Grid Radio. I want to take a chance just to look at the series prices and what could potentially be worth a look, because there's one option that I think is interesting. Yesterday, you could have grabbed the Padres at a minus 110 on the series spread, meaning the Padres then getting a game and a half after they lost the opener. Mm-hmm. They would have then needed to either win the series or force game seven. Oh, that number is now minus 245. Padres plus 1.5 games. The Yankees plus 1.5 games is plus 128. You would have a plus 128 ticket. You need them to either force a game seven or win this series. Any juice to that number for you?
No, there is, because if I do think the Yankees are going to win tonight, when would you like to take that number? Before the Yankees actually win a game, because you're right, they'll go back in three. These are two evenly matched teams. Now, if you want to say, try to break it down, the biggest advantage that Houston is going to have, Kevin, was last night with Verlander on the mound. He's not going to pitch every other day in this series. You might see him one more time. So if I think the Yanks can win tonight, there's a really good chance that you might be pushing a game seven, which if it winds up, +1.5 in your pocket, that's a W already, regardless of the winner of the series.
It's a very tempting number. Even if the Yankees lose tonight, right, you would hope, no guarantees, that they would be able to take two games in the Bronx. Mm-hmm. And then your worst-case scenario is you're sitting at plus 128 money line on a Yankees Game 6 ticket. Is that line going to be better, bigger than, shorter than? It'll be, you would, again, envision around that number. Though, I will absolutely agree, you have to like plus 128 probably, meaning you have to like the Yankees tonight, which Donnie does. If the Yankees did lose this game, I would be fascinated by their series spread. Could you get them +2.5 games all of a sudden? Stuff we'll always keep an eye on. Two games in the NBA tonight, that's what we're breaking down.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back here on the early line Thursday morning. Just finished up talking some Major League Baseball. It's Sonny Wrightside and Kevin Walsh here in the AM. Now it's time to flip it over to the NBA. And if you're out there wondering right now, saying, now let me get this straight. Donnie's opening up every single NBA segment. Well, there's a reason behind that. I'm the authority here on the network on all things NBA throughout the season. So it's my duty to present the facts and give it to the people straight. Now that we got that out of the way, let's take a look tonight. 529, 530 on the rotation. The Milwaukee Bucks and the Philadelphia 76ers. The FanDuel Sportsbook listing this game, Kevin, had a -4 price for the Sixers tonight and a healthy total of 225. The Philadelphia 76ers came off their game against the Boston Celtics. Come on, guys. You got to play better than that. Maybe they will tonight. But the Bucks, getting a first look at them in the 2022-23 NBA season. What gives tonight in this game between the Bucks and the Sixers?
Well, one big piece of injury news certainly stands out for this game, and that is Chris Middleton, who's going to miss a little bit of time here to open up the season for the Milwaukee Bucks. Last year, obviously, we know that Middleton missed his fair share of time, as did Drew Holiday. It's not the start that you're looking to get to for Milwaukee. Though, I think last season they turned the corner a little bit in terms of how they viewed the regular season after winning their championship. I think they kind of start to fall into that Warriors, right? You know, not these LeBron Lakers, but kind of the old LeBron teams, right? We're not too worried about the regular season. We know we're going to win 50-plus games. It's all about the playoffs. So they're probably being a bit cautious with Middleton. But I think that's why you are seeing the 76ers right now priced as a home favorite. The one thing that scared me yesterday with this NBA card, and I don't know why it would be, but home teams yesterday, Donnie, does this make any sense? Obviously, they're all home openers. Home teams yesterday, 3-9 against the spread. That is substantial for road teams. Yeah. Now, on opening night, we did see both home favorites go out there and collect victories, and that's obviously what people were looking for. But that was, again, an astonishing number. I do wonder, though, if teams making a home opener after having a game played, maybe now a little bit with their legs under them, does that make a bit of a difference, and could that maybe matter here for Philadelphia? I know we'll talk props in a moment. As far as the side goes, though, I do lean towards the Sixers. A game under the belt, the home opener, Milwaukee without Middleton. I think things start to mount here. Doc Rivers also historically pretty good in home openers.
Yes, and also take a look from a Sixers perspective here. It's kind of interesting the way you try to analyze that game against the Boston Celtics. Did you want to win that game on the road? Certainly you did. But sometimes you come away with the game saying, well, we always know we can count on Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey going to be an emerging superstar in the league. At least the Sixers think that's going to be the case. But I come away with this, and your offseason MVP pick was James Harden at 80-1. Now, most people, again, would just look at the box score, same old Celtics, they have the Sixers number, and that's what it is. But I took a little bit more away from that, saying if the Sixers were to lose that game, or let's just say, let's flip it over. The Sixers win that game hard-fought 106-105. James Harden, 13 points, 1 of 7 from 3, you know, minus 15 on the game, and just looks like he's getting older every year. He looked really good in that game in defeat, and maybe using that as a springboard moving forward, where now maybe you do have a big three in Philadelphia. So if we're looking at this moving forward here, the player props in this game, I know you talked about this even before the show started. James Harden, double-double night one. The price on James Harden double-double night two, a little bit different here now.
Yeah, which is really frustrating. You and I think we're both on the double-double in game number one. It was at a plus price, you know, anywhere from plus 115 to plus 150. And it is as if the book said, okay, we got away with one. Currently now minus 142 for a double-double for James Harden. It's tough to get there when it does feel like the value has been taken away in the way that it kind of has here. It's odd, though, right? 8.5 was his assist prop in the opening game. He finished with 7. The assist prop is 9.5. Clearly, the expectation is the Sixers are going to run here a little bit more, and Harden should benefit. Also, talking about props that are on the move, his points prop was 19.5 in that basketball game. How about 35? How about that number now?
Wow.
Is 35. Or no, excuse me. He scored 35.
Oh, it's going to say.
Prop is 22.5. No. His point, no. That would make any sense. No. But he scored 35 last night. It's up 3 points now to 22.5. We know, now, listen, I mean, if they would have just made it, hey, whatever he scores game number one, man, that obviously would have been something. The number I'm most interested in, though, is Embiid's 26.5. Hit this with ease last year against Milwaukee in both meetings. I think this is a big game for Embiid. Foul trouble is what kept him back a little bit last game. This game, he gets over 26.5. Also, careful on this. Giannis is the only guy around. He's got to go over 30.5. Middleton isn't there. 9 games without him last season. Only twice did he cross over 30.5 points, Donnie.
Yeah, it should be a fun one tonight. And also, I say this time and time again with the NBA. They do big events right here. They give you a great opening night with two really good basketball games, a full card last night. How could they come back on a Thursday? Most of the league will be off. Oh, no, there's only 2 games. They give you 2 really compelling games. Game number 2 out on the West Coast here, 5:31, 5:32 on the rotation. 10 o'clock tip, Clippers and Lakers in this game. Opening line at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Clippers minus 4. That's actually increased to a 5.5. The total in this game up from 220.5 at the opener to 224. A lot of question marks surrounding the Lakers at this point, but here come the Clippers and Kawhi. Give me some thoughts on this late night game tonight.
Yeah, so I'll give you the thoughts with the game, and then we got to just address some of the things Russ recently said. As far as the game goes here, the only reason to back the Lakers is because I don't know who out there is going to back the Lakers. They were awful in the opening game. They lost 123-109 to the Golden State Warriors. They cannot shoot. They were giving up plenty of good looks. They gave up .123 in a game where it did not look like Golden State was really playing all that well. Again, really, your thought on the Lakers, LeBron hopefully turns this around. Does he? I guess we'll see. His points props 28.5. LeBron in the opening game of this season got to 31. Does he just say, I'll get mine, as this whole thing is going to be a waste of time until we make a major move? Because there is a bit of a major move that might need to be made. Russell Westbrook, coming off of the bench, was talked about all offseason long. They decided that he would come off the bench against the Sacramento Kings for the final preseason game. He played 5 minutes and left with a hamstring injury. He was then ready to go, no problem, for game number one. Ask Dr. Donnie with a hamstring injury. No way he should have been ready and go to play for that game. Well, interesting. Russ says, I absolutely believe the reason I injured my hamstring is because I came off the bench. I've been doing the same routine my whole career. I didn't know what to do with myself. Are you kidding me? How dumb do you think we are? Now, not me, not Donnie, not the folks here on Sports Grid, right? I'm tuning in, watching, and listening. The Lakers front office? Maybe, though. Maybe dumb enough to believe that that is true. Russell Westbrook very clearly said, yeah, I'll play on the bench, whatever you want, no problem, no problem. Whatever's best for the team. Walked in, played 5 minutes, went, oh, the hammy, can't do it, can't do it. Take me out of here in a preseason game. He never would have done it in a regular season game because it would have tanked his averages. And then goes, if you put me on the bench, I'm going to be injured. You trade him when we figure out what the market is. Send him home. Send him home. He is bad for this basketball team. He is a losing basketball player now more than ever, Donnie. He has no business on a LeBron James roster, and that is exactly what he is right now. A losing piece from the word go, and it is only going to get worse.
You know, it's an interesting part about that topic, too, is I didn't see Russell Westbrook doing pickup basketball at halftime during his NBA career, knowing that he can't slow down the half, because if he starts the second half, he just took a 15-minute break, he's going to blow his hamstring out. It's kind of interesting the way that's playing out, so something also to keep an eye on in NBA action. But we're going to flip it back over here to the gridiron, because there are a lot of news and notes in the NFL that we have to get to. It's Thursday, right here on the...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The NFL is coming on up from a Thursday night preview angle, but there's some interesting headlines as well, as you mentioned, heading into the break. I think one of the major ones involves Odell Beckham Jr. and the Kansas City Chiefs. We've been wondering where Odell was going to land. Kansas City made an interesting move, clearing up some space by restructuring Travis Kelce's contract. Travis Kelce does a podcast with his brother Jason Kelce, and brothers are hanging out, asking him straightforward, what's going on? Is this about Odell? And Travis is like, I don't know, but they don't do that if they're not looking to make a move. Plus, I got my money right now, so awesome, cool, and a win for me. Do you think this is where we're heading right now? Odell Beckham Jr. landing in Kansas City?
Well, there's a couple things you could take a look at why teams do that. Number one is they'll give the player more money up front, which they like because it's more money in their bank account faster. And also, that gives them flexibility to do a few things. November 1 is the trade deadline in the NFL. Even if you're not going to make a move, you got to be prepared as if you're going to make a move. Also, as we know with Andy Reid and his Philadelphia days with Joe Banner, they did this a lot because you can flip over some of that pseudo cap space into the next year by reworking some of the language in the contract. But then there is also, hey, we got to rework a deal because we want to bring a player in over the next few days here, which could be Odell Beckham. Look, Odell Beckham's going to be a good addition to a lot of football teams out here. We'll take a look at some of these teams in just a few moments. But for the Kansas City Chiefs, I don't really see the pressing need for Odell Beckham. Does that put them over the hump? Not necessarily here. Is it good to add more good football players? Yes, it is. But I think some other teams out there might benefit a little bit better. But also, if you are looking at the Kansas City Chiefs, if they do sign Odell Beckham, this is a point where, Kevin, it's not as if like, oh my goodness, we have to sign the guy because we have no wide receivers to play this week and everybody's injured. Odell, please help us. You can bring him along slow. You can put him on pitch counts over the next 6 to 7 weeks and ramp him up for the playoffs, which I think makes a lot of sense for the Kansas City Chiefs.
The interesting thing for Kansas City is we've talked about the departure of obviously Tyreek Hill and what that means for this team. If you look at the wide receiver room, Juju had his first touchdown last week. MVS still without one. Second round pick Sky Moore still without one as well. Mecole Hardman has found the end zone twice. They aren't getting excellent production from the wide receiver room right now. They could use a boost, as all teams could use a boost. This was something that you and I used to, you know, people would go with the Rams. But man, the Rams are pushing all in for a Super Bowl. I'm sorry, are you saying that negatively? What is going on here? Why would the Chiefs not want to add talent? And by the way, like you said, we're going to talk about where Odell should be looking. Odell is not going to be looking at, Arizona or, you know, Vegas, right? The Bears. The Bears are the perfect example. He is not going to go to Chicago because he'd be the best wide receiver on the team. Odell won a championship last season. That is all Odell is going to look to set himself up to do, is be on a roster where he can win a championship. So for Kansas City, at worst case scenario, you're playing keep away, Donnie. Of course the Chiefs should be interested, but do tell me other teams that you think should be making the call.
I mean, it's which one jumps off the page right now, right? Which is the one where you scan that and go, boy, they really could use a legitimate wide receiver. It's the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers, right? But something just doesn't seem to fit. They needed a wide receiver. They wanted extra help for Devontae Adams in the years past. Hey, look, Odell Beckham's out there. You know what? The Packers go, we're fine set and we're good here. He goes to the Rams, makes an immediate impact, end up winning a Super Bowl. Quite frankly, Kevin, if he plays that entire Super Bowl, who's to say he's not the actual MVP? And what contract would he actually be commanding in the offseason? He'd probably be signed, sealed, delivered back towards the Rams instead of getting all that money for Allen Robinson. That would have been Odell Beckham's money here. But that one jumps off the page. But also, I do like where you're going here with the Kansas City Chiefs. Sometimes it's about he's not going to be all that expensive. If you're looking for Odell Beckham, what does he want? Put me in a good situation with a really good quarterback and a really good coach. I know I'm not going to break the bank this year, but if I show up in the playoffs and the Super Bowl again, next year I'm going to bank. So it knocks out all those lower-level teams. Like, he's not going to go to the Pittsburgh Steelers and play with Kenny Pickett. Mm-hmm. They already have some decent wide receivers, but he needs a place where he can ingratiate himself, get those good vibes, and anybody like a Sean McVay, who we know loves him. Andy Reid would probably say the most glowing things, which is going to make him money into the future. But if we are looking overall, I think to me, it's still going to be the Green Bay Packers as the best landing spot where, number one, Aaron Rodgers might throw you the ball 30 times a game because he has nowhere else to deal with here. But if you are looking for, let's just say, outside the box thinking here, let's go to the NFC East. Ooh, he's going to the Cowboys. I don't think so. How about the Philadelphia Eagles? That would be a really good spot here to add and just say, come along slowly here and help us in the playoffs. How about a reuniting in New York? How about in New York City, where it looks like, Kevin, now they might be a legitimate playoff contender? He loves the Big Apple. There is no bigger stage if OBJ comes back to Giants Nation with that fan base and produces late in the season where they make a playoff run. Give him the key to the city and maybe a long-term future with Kenny Golladay out here as that big contract. That's going to get cut away, and the Giants are going to have more money in the future. Maybe the Giants are that landing spot that we don't talk about enough.
The Giants need wide receiver help. I think that Odell would probably love a chance to, I don't want to say make things right in New York, because that,
redemption, maybe,
for me, puts too much blame on him. Yeah. But let there be positive vibes between him and a fan base that loved one another. So many of the problems that were there in New York are gone. It is fair to say, is Daniel Jones a guy he wants to play with? I am not so sure if that is the case. Also, I think there is something to be said about Odell preferring to play in warmer weather, if he can. That might be tough for New York. That might be tough for Green Bay. Again, that might really just kind of narrow us down to like the LA teams overall. The Ravens, of course, make the list, but will that ever happen? But let's also talk about what was seen as the place he will obviously sign. Of course, he's going back to the Rams. It's just a matter of time. I thought Sean McVay said something really interesting a couple of weeks ago. We need to be good enough to have Odell Beckham Jr. choose us. And I don't think that was a mistake by Sean McVay. Everyone knows that Sean loves Odell. Odell crashed his wedding. They clearly get along. It wouldn't surprise me if Odell has been forward enough to say, I can't play football until November, December. Why am I going to sign anywhere? And by the time I get back, it's a losing situation. I do think the Rams are the favorites if they look like a playoff team when Odell is ready to sign because of the relationships in that room that already exist. But if that team, who's currently 3-3, turns the page and is all of the sudden, what are we going to be sitting at? 5-8, maybe, by when he's signing? Then I'm not so sure Odell Beckham Jr. gives them the legitimate consideration that people were expecting. Let me talk a little bit about some starters here. Some are real, some maybe not so much. PJ Walker is going to start against the Bucks. You watched a lot of that game last week because you had a Panthers team total.
Yeah.
Surprised? I mean, Jacob Eason, I don't know. Like, what do you think about the fact that Carolina is sticking with PJ Walker?
I don't understand it all that much. And from last week, this wasn't just like, hey, man, it's PJ Walker's first start in a while, some NFL action. Let's give him some time. Get knocked out of the game with like a concussion symptoms and a neck injury. So the turnaround from, oh, yeah, by Wednesday, he's going to be the starter. Let me name that now. And it wasn't as if, Kevin, you watch and go, wow, he adds a new dimension. He's really mobile. We saw what Baker Mayfield gave us. He threw for 250 yards. He threw for like 60 yards in that game, and everything was side, almost as if he was handing off to a running back or a wide receiver, and that was their passing game. They scored 10 points in there, and 7 came from the defense. Now you're going up against a hungry Tampa Bay team that is clearly agitated with everything on both sides of the ball, maybe a get-right situation. But I don't understand from the rest of a team perspective that you're going to go into this game. The players know what they saw in that game going, we legitimately have no chance to win this football game whatsoever. And I'm not saying Eason is the example. Let him play. He might be really good. This just shows the state of the Carolina Panthers franchise right now, where Sam Darnold was activated from IR. And Wilk said, look, we don't want to give him too much too soon. But if you're a Panthers fan and looking around going, boy, I hope Darnold comes back sooner than later, just think about that for a second here. This is going to be a terrible game for the Carolina Panthers. I would be surprised if they reached double digits in scoring.
I think there's a chance they don't even post PJ Walker props in that they're like,
what
yeah, he'll
be
benched.
Honestly,
we don't,
what would they be?
That's the problem. 150 and a half passing yards.
Like he sets the new record then, right? From Justin Fields, he does.
Yeah, Fields, 141 and a half, 148 and a half, something. I don't remember what it was, but it was
under 150. Yeah.
And he went up.
Yeah,
Fields didn't go over, though. Shout out to Justin Fields. Quickly, Nate Hackett says Melvin Gordon is still the starting running back in Denver. Now, what are we doing here, folks? What are we doing? He clearly benched him. Clearly. Played 9 snaps. How's he still the starter? Were you sending a message? Were you going with the hot hand, but it was a pair of hot hands? What are you talking about? This, I cannot wait to see if we actually have Melvin Gordon props posted. It might be 20 and a half yards. I mean, I cannot believe he's still the starter. No, he's not. How about that? No, he's not, Nate Hackett. Oh, and by the way, Russell Wilson says he's going to play this week because he heals quickly like Wolverine. What happened
concussion
to my Super Bowl pick, man?
Concussion water. Remember that? Yeah, Russ.
My goodness gracious, man.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on the early line on Sports Grid. I'm Kevin Walsh. It's Donnie Wrightside. We've got Thursday night football here. We've got a 2.5-point spread for the Arizona Cardinals at home. Kyler Murray likely against Andy Dalton. Not been confirmed, but we do have player props on Dalton. Again, the books clearly pretty confident that Dalton will have the ball here in this football game. Talk to me, side total. Where are you looking Thursday night football?
Yeah, it's a tough one overall. But if I'm looking at this game, you know, with an edge, it's still going to be to the home team. But Donnie, you know how bad Arizona is at home. I understand that. But to me, always going to be a philosophy for the to the end of time when they have Thursday night football games, Kevin, build a case for the home team or don't make a bet on the away team is basically what it boils down to. 43.5 does seem a little bit low. We've seen the New Orleans Saints move the football and score points, Kevin, without a lot of wide receivers and just basically Alvin Kamara and Taysom Hill pulling some magic here. So that certainly bodes well. But also, it's that outside advantage that you have that we haven't saw this year. DeAndre Hopkins coming back into the fold for Arizona. You know he's going to get his share of targets. You know he's going to make one of those great one-on-one catches that we've seen so many times over the past few years, him making in big situations. Am I feeling comfortable about taking Arizona? Yeah, sure. Just DeAndre Hopkins is going to come back and from a team that scored 9 points, which included zero offensive touchdowns against one of the worst defenses in the league in the Seattle Seahawks. But I still think that might be the way to go. The 43.5 is always going to be low to me, even though I just said the Arizona Cardinals scored 9 points last week. Whenever you have a Cliff Kingsbury offense and Kyler Murray, it doesn't scream under. Even if the games play out that way, where they had an under, 20-12 against the Rams, they do play some under games, but their offense technically doesn't dictate that. I see more deep shots downfield with DeAndre Hopkins, which should also open up the field for Zach Ertz. I would lean on the over 43.5, and as much as I hate it, I'm not going to come on and say, oh, no play tonight, we're not going to bet this game. I would take the Arizona Cardinals as a slight favorite under a field goal.
The Cardinals have not won a home game in a very, very, very long time. But they are not going to never win a home game again. If you've been fading Arizona at home all this time, things have been going very, very well for you. No doubt about it. Their last home victory, October 10th. No, excuse me, October 24th. Excuse me, October 24th. Donnie, we're nearly a full year away.
Yeah.
Nearly a full year from when their last home victory was the Arizona Cardinals. However, the one thing with all of this is the last time that this team was out there, forget winning at home, but winning football games, is when DeAndre Hopkins was around. And it's been a long time since we've seen D-Hop, but I think this is where things start to make a difference. With Hopkins, they averaged over 30 points per game. Speaking of the 30, the Saints now in three consecutive games have allowed 38 points per game on average, or 30 points per game, excuse me, 30 points per game on average. The team total is 22.5 for Arizona, which we know can often encompass the side and the total. I agree with you. My lean is towards Arizona and it's towards the over, but that means I like the over 22.5 for the Cards and will likely point me in their direction in the props market. Talk to me with the touchdown scorers usually is where we begin. Kamara's the favorite at plus 110. Where are you looking here?
Yeah, spreading the board around here for the Cardinals makes it a little bit tough for me because you do see there DeAndre Hopkins at a plus 120 price getting back into the fold. He is a great red zone target, legitimate chance to score a touchdown, also sliding it down there. Zach Ertz at a plus 240 price. But the touchdown scorers, even though I don't think they possibly win this game, I'm going with the New Orleans Saints, and I just keep it simple. If we're getting into the red zone, wide receivers are all banged up. Where do you look for? Alvin Kamara and also Taysom Hill, because this is one stretch where you get a first and goal from the 3-yard line. It's not Andy Dalton rolling out of the pocket here. It's Taysom Hill with a run pass option. So those two price points here, plus 110 and a plus 180, I think they both make sense. If there is a touchdown to be scored tonight by the Saints, I think it's going to be between Kamara and Taysom Hill. I'll go that route. Sort of, you see my MO during the season, too. It's usually take two guys as a dog here, try to line them up. Just get one, you get plus money. Two of them is a really good night. That's the way I'll go here in the touchdown market.
Four games for Kamara this season. Do you know how many touchdowns he has?
No.
Zero. He has not scored yet.
Joe Mixon.
Alvin Kamara is not going to never score. It's getting a bit ridiculous even at this point. Now, there certainly is a benefit, or it's harder because they love, apparently it wasn't just Sean Payton, just New Orleans loves Taysom Hill. Like, Taysom Hill had three rushing touchdowns in one game, and we still have 0-4 Kamara. That is a bit unbelievable. But we have seen the Saints give up rushing touchdowns, and maybe that is the best way to play it. You grab both, and you figure you can't lose on both. But my eye is towards DeAndre Hopkins. And it is, and I'll even skip it, it's the touchdowns, and it's the yardage. I understand it is his first game back. I think that is why we are getting his passing or receiving yards number at 62.5 instead of 82.5. Marshawn Lattimore continues to be out for New Orleans, and they are now getting absolutely torn up by elite wide receivers. Justin Jefferson in London, 10 for 147 with a rushing touchdown. Metcalf, 5, 88, and 1. Lockett, 5, 104, and 2. That's right, in the same game. And what about Ja'Marr Chase last week? 7, 132, and 2. I don't usually play 2+ touchdowns, but if you want to go into that market, look towards Hopkins at plus 650. Look at his over receiving number at 62.5. He is not only the best wide receiver in this wide receiver room, there is now a major gap. Again, not rare for Hopkins in his career between him and the next closest man due to Hollywood Brown. And that's the thing. The Hollywood Brown injury, though unfortunate for Arizona, makes this a little bit easier on us, the better, trying to figure out what to do. Again, the Saints can't cover number ones. Well, maybe that would have been Marquise Hollywood Brown, who's been given 9+ targets in 5 consecutive games, who had went over this 62.5 number in 5 consecutive games. He's gone. He's completely gone. Robbie Anderson's not a thing tonight, Donnie. I'm all over Hopkins here against the New Orleans Saints.
I think it does make some sense also in feeding off of Hopkins, which you figure he's going to get the majority of the target share. It still helps other players on the field. If we zero in on Zach Ertz in this game tonight, former Philadelphia Eagle player, last 4 out of 5 games, Kevin, how about this? Double-digit targets, 11, 10, 6, 10, and 10. But take a look at the yardage as well outside of that first game. 70 yards, 48 yards, 47 yards, 45 yards, and 75 yards. If we're looking at that market tonight, the FanDuel Sportsbook for tight end Zach Ertz, 45.5. And some people might say, well, hold on now. DeAndre Hopkins is going to come back here. If you know the way the NFL works, where does the focus of this matchup go? If you're looking in the room and you're saying to yourself, Dennis Allen, who are you trying to stop? Well, it's obviously Zach Ertz. No, it's not. It's DeAndre Hopkins going to have rolled coverage tonight, which means over the middle, Zach Ertz should be open. I like that. If we flip it over to the New Orleans Saints side, just by default, if you don't have a full complement of wide receivers, sometimes those secondary options have no choice but to rise up. If we take a look at Tre'Quan Smith, 26.5 receiving yards, had 43 in the last game. Kevin, you could have that wrapped up on the first drive, and maybe what do you need? 3 or 4 total targets to accomplish it. So two guys I'm looking forward to tonight, Tre'Quan Smith and Zach Ertz in the receiving market.
Not bad there. Let me bring up Kyler Murray quickly, and then we'll talk some match specials. We do not have his rushing prompt listed yet on the FanDuel Sportsbook. It looks like this number is going to be in the very low 30s. Kyler Murray, let's just set the number at 33.5, okay, in the opening 4 games was under that in all of them. He then snuck over it against the Eagles, going for 42 yards. Then last week, 10 rushes, 100 yards. That's the Kyler that we were hoping for. That is the Kyler Murray that I bet over a season-long rushing total. Are we going to see Kyler turn the corner? Is the question for me. Is that more about maybe a bad Seattle run defense, which it is? Very bad. I think that's just something to keep an eye on. See where that number lands and see how you can attack Kyler in that market. Match specials, it's interesting because Kyler, Dalton, where does that 1-2 punch kind of land here for the numbers that we're so often looking at? The 504 is plus 430. What are you doing here tonight in the match specials market?
usually we have some fun with what? The 1-1, which makes actually sense in every game. Sometimes a little bit harder to hit in others, but that's not where I'm going here. Maybe you're talking about the 1-1 with quarterbacks throwing a touchdown pass in each half. Technically, we don't even know who the heck the starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints is going to be. Or one of those Kevin specials, right? 504, trying to mix up with two wide receivers, 200 yards, two touchdowns, and the like. I'm not even going there because I'm not enthralled with this matchup overall. It's not a high point total, but I do see a lot of stalling, Kevin, in the red zone. It's one of my old favorites here. One field goal per quarter in tonight's game. You don't need four for the game. You need one in the first. You get three in the second. As long as you get one in the third and fourth, that cashes in a 5-1 ticket. So if you're not in love with the game from an offensive standpoint and you think points might be at a premium, instead of fourth and three from the 17-yard line in a shootout between two really good football teams where field goals won't matter, I don't see that as the case tonight. I see field goals going through the uprights. One per quarter cashes you in at a 5-1 ticket tonight. That's how low I am on this game. I'm going the field goal props, Kevin.
You do, but you like field goal props. You sneaky. Props, yeah. You know that you're a field goal props guy.
I tried to play.
I hear you. But I want to give the people a trend. We don't usually do trends with match specials. It's about kind of what we see, right? What jumps off of the page, and just trust that for what it might be. Three straight New Orleans Saints games. One rushing touchdown and one passing touchdown has cashed. It does make sense, right? Usually you expect a team to throw for a touchdown, and they have seven different guys that can run one in. Arizona's favored in the football game. Kyler Murray's personal 1-1 always feels live. Still waiting for him to run a touchdown in, by the way. Wonder when that will start to. Did he run one in? I can't remember actually. At the top of my head.
I think he does have one. Yeah.
Did he get one in? Who did he get it on? It doesn't matter.
That one was it. The Eagle wasn't the Eagles, was it? Where he scrambled out with that football across the goal line. I think I remember the run. I just can't remember exactly who it was against.
We'll say it was the Eagles. We'll say it was, but because Eagles still won that game, go Birds. But the 1-1 to me does jump off the page a bit here. At a plus 240. The one thing I have to admit I'm a little disappointed in, Kamara, Eno, Benjamin, Chris Olave, and Hopkins is perfect for three touchdowns. It's for four touchdowns. You've always loved this. It's plus 460. I wanted this at 3-1 for those four guys to combine for three touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, lower the bar a little bit. Let the people eat here because you're relying on Eno Benjamin as part of that here and a rookie wide receiver. We know the big-time players in this. Give us three. Let us match up, mix and match. I hear what you're saying here.
Speaking of Chris Olave, by the way, did miss last game against Cincinnati with the concussion. Michael Thomas remains out. Jarvis Landry remains out. Olave by himself could become an appetizing bet for a lot of people. Had 67 against Minnesota. We know he got banged up against Seattle. Finished with 54 in that game. Overall, Olave checking in at 63.5, who has scored now in two consecutive games before missing one against Cincinnati, could also be an interesting bet. That's your Thursday Night Football breakdown. But before you go anywhere, you have to make sure that you listen up, as Donnie is once again going to slander one of his favorite players in the NBA. Keep it right here.
French toast, baby. French toast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, final segment of the day here for the early line for a Thursday edition. Boy, a lot to go over. It's so nice when all these sports are colliding. You got Major League Baseball tonight between the Yankees and the Astros. Two really good games in the NBA, college football, NFL football, and we covered it all appropriately here from 7 to 9 a.m. on the early line. And as always, we're going to hand this bad boy off to Ben Stevens and the morning after and the rest of your Sports Grid day. But I got to tell you, the stuff that I sort of enjoy in life was, aha, told you so. This has to do with Ben Simmons and the Brooklyn Nets. So listen up. Be quiet. Simple headline here. Oh, no, Ben. What is you doing? I thought you were working hard on your game. I thought in the gym you were running like a gazelle, defending everything, putbacks, short jumpers, and heck, we even see you shoot the occasional three-point shot on Instagram, and we all get excited. What could be for the Brooklyn Nets this year? Could it be a year of championship aspirations? Kyrie's back. We're not worried about the vaccine here. KD's back. He's healthy and he's motivated as he put his trade rumor request to bed here with talks with ownership and head coach Steve Nash. And then there's Ben Simmons. Boy, wait till he gets back. He's hungry. He's healthy. His game has advanced. And then we saw last night Ben Simmons' refusal to shoot the basketball. Ben Simmons as a defensive mastermind, fouling out of the game through 23 minutes played yesterday. An embarrassing performance. And this is the team that we want to check out over the first few weeks of the season just to see where they're going to end up. Could it be all three of these players work perfectly together and championships on the horizon for the Nets? Or in a few weeks, will it be apparent that this doesn't work? KD wants out, so does Kyrie. And where does that leave Ben Simmons? Because you remember in the offseason, Ben Simmons basically said, yeah, Kyrie can go. KD can go. I'll be fine. I'm worried about the Brooklyn Nets here. My goodness, Ben, if you're going to be scoring 2 to 4 points a game and fouling out, what is the point? And also, all those times with the Philadelphia 76ers where everybody told the Sixers fans, it's not you, it's Ben.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.